Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Lee from Lee and Keys. Episode, I want to say it's 20, but I'm not quite sure. I think we're going to get away from the episode number. I think we're just going to introduce the show as Lee and Keys, and then we'll roll into the topics we want to talk about. My man Keys, he's running a little late out there in Boston, probably stuck in traffic somewhere. But, you know, tonight is Sunday. We got a lot of stuff going on TV tonight. Let's jump right on to it. Last night we had NBA Saturday night. You know, Devin Booker won a three-point contest. Spencer Dinwiddie won the skills contest. And Donovan Mitchell won the slam dunk contest. I think with NBA Saturday night is that it's a great event, especially for the kids. Yesterday I was watching practice, and it was so cool watching the kids come out in front of the players dancing. They were so happy. I love that part about the NBA, how they are so inviting to their fans, whereas I feel the NFL tries to keep their fans at bay. And the NFL is, I want to say, you can't get as close to the NFL game as you can the NBA game. Just a little personal story. I went to the Golden State Warriors versus Denver Nuggets game a few weeks back, and we sat row two under the basket. And you talking about being part of the game, oh, man, I felt like I was in the game. We could hear the players calling out plays. We could hear the players talking to the refs. We could hear the players talking to each other. The sound of the ball bouncing on the court. But, you know, that was just how close you can get to an NBA game compared to an NFL game. But back to NBA Saturday night. Not to blow my own horn, but I did pick all three winners. I picked Spencer Dinwiddie because I thought he would be hungry. Because, you know, he played for the Brooklyn Nets, and, you know, a guy like that has been carrying that squad. And to be honest, he probably should have got looked at as far as being an all-star. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets record is what it is, so that's probably going to hold guys back. I went with Devin Booker because once he gets hot, he gets en fuego. And last night he started off slow, and then the top of the key rack, the right wing, and the right wing and then the right corner, he was on fire. I thought he would catch fire in the contest. Those three-point shootouts is hard to win back-to-back. So that's why I went with Devin Booker. And the slam dunk contest, actually, I was pretty disappointed. Even though I picked Donovan Mitchell to win, I think the NBA needs to go back to the old format. You have the preliminaries. So you start off with six, you work your way down to four, then you work your way down to two. I mean, it's a lot of dunking, but at the same time, you get the fans more to go on. You get the judges more to go on. You let the judges warm up with the contest. Because to be honest, Larry Nance Jr. was excellent last night. Donovan Mitchell did pull some things out the hat, but it was stuff we had seen before. But Dennis Scott Jr., man, that dunk he did, taking the ball with his right hand, going between his legs in air, and dunking it with his left hand, that dunk was sick. And I would have rather seen, let's say, Dennis Smith Jr. go against Larry Nance in the semifinals. Then you had, let's say, Donovan Mitchell goes against, who was the fourth person? Victor Oladipo in the semifinals. Then you have the winners. What you could do is, even if you do it that way, you could go number one, number two, number three, number four. Whoever has the highest dunk totals after their first dunk, that's the way you see them. You got one, two, three, four. And then you'll probably have Dennis Smith going against Larry Nance, like I said, and Donovan Mitchell going against Victor Oladipo. So then, you know, you let those play out. You go with two dunks, let those play out. But then when you get to the finals, you have three dunks. Let it play out, man. Let the night grow. Let the anticipation for the next dunk grow. That's how it was back in the day when you had Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins and all them guys dunking that. It built up to an event. So that's about it. There was a couple other things I wanted to cover, but my man Keys is on. Hold on real quick. Yo, Keys, what's good, bro?
Yo, what's up, everybody? My bad, I'm late. We're about to get into it. You hear me good right there?
I can hear you, bro.
All right, word. I heard you talking about the I was listening before. I heard you talking about the dunk contest. I didn't really get to watch it that closely last night because I ended up falling asleep. But I can hear you out, and I'll throw in a little 2 cents if you keep going. If you want to go in on that, or we got, of course, it's kind of dope because the show tonight, we got, by the time we finish here, you and I and probably everybody listening will be watching, unless they're in China or something, they'll be watching the NBA All-Star game right after that, Team LeBron versus Team Curry. So that's pretty dope. I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah, man. Sure. I mean, it's a good night, man. We got UFC Fight Night also with Cerrone and Medeiros and Jared Lewis versus Tavor. Then we got the All-Star game tonight. So it's a lot going on tonight.
Damn, I assumed that the fight, because they usually do Saturday nights. I know they got the Sunday events, you know, kind of in the middle in between. So I didn't realize this was a Sunday one. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's you know, Dana White always trying to compete. So he's probably trying to compete with NBA All-Star game to see, you know, where their ratings go at, you know, compared to the game. So that's nothing new for him.
Hey, that's not, I mean, I don't blame him for trying. I don't know how it'll go, but I don't blame him. Because you know how we said about these fight night cards, it's not, people haven't really been tuning in as much. So especially having that, the game on at the same time, I don't know how well they'll do, you know, for viewers or whatever, but, you know, I respect the work. At least he's trying.
Yeah, because, you know, he's been known to, like, do pay-per-view, I mean, do UFC events on the same night. There's a big boxing event. You know, Dana is all about trying to be in competition. So, but you know, tonight I don't think it's good business to go against the NBA, especially with them having this concept of Team LeBron versus Team Steph. You know, it's the first time the NBA did that. So I think he probably should have sat this one out or did the fight night last night.
Yeah, probably would have been better off last night. I mean, hey, in terms of the card though, I'm pretty excited for the Cowboy. You know, the Cowboy and Yancey fight in the main event. So, and my boy Derrick Lewis is on there. You know, I'm a fan of Derrick Lewis, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think the Derrick Lewis Tabora fight is going to be a good fight. Of course, the winner probably going to win by knockout. Probably ain't going to go to distance. But I'm probably going to roll with your boy, the Black Beast, Derrick Lewis, in that fight. Then for the Cerrone Medeiros fight, every time Cerrone is at a level where he's considered, like, one of the top guys and he gets a main event fight, he always stumbles and falls for some strange reason. It seems like he does better in the middle card or the undercard than he does with the main event. So for that reason only, I'm going to go with Medeiros to win this fight tonight. It's because Donald Cerrone seems to not be the same guy as when he's in main events as he is on other parts of the card.
I mean, well, he lost his last three fights. So, I mean, he had the Masvidal fight. He got finished there, and then he lost to Robbie, and then he got finished. I think he got finished by Darren Till too. Two out of three of those weren't main events, as far as I remember. But he definitely he loses Mentalovic. That's what it is. You know how we say that. Cerrone got to work on his mental game.
Fight was a, I thought the Till fight was a main event, and I thought Masvidal was the main event because he was fighting in Denver. And I went to that fight. I could be wrong, but I thought that was the main event. But that's neither here nor there. I just think that whenever he's main event, he just doesn't do well. And I think also watching that Lawler fight, that was a tough fight to score, man. That was a tough fight to score because Lawler definitely took round one, and then Cerrone definitely took round two, and then they was just going back and forth in round three. So that was a tough fight to score. I would have loved to see that fight go five rounds.
Yeah, I think they definitely made a mistake not having that as a main event because the fans needed to see them guys go for five rounds. That was kind of a
that
was a lame move from the UFC. I think they should have saved it for a different card when they didn't have Jones and Cormier.
So who you got tonight? You got so who you got in those two fights?
It's hard to. It's definitely hard for me to go with Cerrone because. I put stock in Cerrone for his fights usually, but lately he's been coming up short a lot. He's been losing. So, I mean, you know how I've said before, I thought he didn't lose to Robbie Lawler. That wasn't a unanimous decision loss, I don't think. Even though that don't really sound like it makes sense. I just thought it was a little bit closer. So I didn't think he had a bad performance that night, but he definitely surprised me. Losing to Masvidal and Darren Till. But then at the same time, is like, I think he would have had a better chance. He had a better chance in the Masvidal fight because Darren Till was going to surprise a lot of us regardless. And he's with a pretty good camp right now, too. Yancey had his last fight was a fight. I forget who he fought, but it was crazy.
Carlos Oliveira. Charles Oliveira.
Another
cowboy.
I want to say cowboy, but at the same time, like, my logic says Yancey probably win the fight. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably go with, I'll roll with cowboy just because I want to see him win. But, you know, if he lose, I won't be surprised either. I'm going to go with cowboy, though. We'll see. Maybe like a
– Okay.
Maybe it's a five-round main event, so maybe cowboy can get a decision or maybe like a fourth round TKO or something like that. I'm going to just go with that, I think, for now. I hope to see that. So.
Okay.
Don't hold me to it. But.
Yeah. And I'm quite sure you're going with Derek Lewis over Tabor.
Yeah, definitely. Derek Lewis is he's going to come out there and do what he does tonight. So I don't even have to think about that one.
All right. So let me ask you one more question then, since we are caught up on that. Who you got winning the All-Star game tonight, Team LeBron or Team Steph, and why?
Oh, man. See, I was looking at these lineups, and it's pretty crazy, man. I feel like both is a squad in the first place. Both of them is stacked. Those teams, that's wild. I mean, first of all, I like what they did with this versus just the usual East versus West thing, let them pick teams. I think that's a dope concept. And it definitely makes it's going to be a much, much more competitive game. So this one's definitely a lot harder to call than if you just asked me who was going to win East versus West if they just had ran it how they normally do. But I'm going to go with Team LeBron, I think, because I think that LeBron and KD together is going to be a force. Like, I don't mean like a force, like it's going to be overwhelming, but them guys, I don't think – I don't know if they've ever even been on have they ever played on an All-Star team together before?
Nah, they played Team USA together, that's it.
Oh, I just feel like that duo right there is about to be a game changer. And then they got Anthony Davis, so that's good. I thought I heard that DeMarcus Cousins got hurt or something, and I don't know if he's playing, but... Having him and AD.
Nah, he hurt. He tore his Achilles. He out for the year.
Yeah, I was going to say him and AD would have played a factor too, but I'm going to go with Team LeBron because I just feel like I mean, Curry's got all the shooters. He's got a lot of the – I mean, he got DeMar DeRozan crazy, and, I mean, he got Harden crazy, so – and he got a couple other guys too. I mean, he got Klay Thompson, of course, and himself, so he's got a lot of the shooters. He got – I mean, they're going to be putting the lights out, definitely. This is going to be a high-scoring game, but I'm going to roll with Team LeBron. They're going to have I don't know who will be the favorite in this one, but I think Team LeBron with the upset if people are doubting them now.
Well, I'm going with Team Steph. The only reason I'm going with Team Steph is because, of course, they got the shooting. And then I think what they're going to do is they're going to go small in the fourth quarter. So that's going to negate the size of LeBron's team. So they probably go with – probably in the fourth quarter, they probably go with Steph, Harden, Giannis, probably Klay, and maybe Draymond, I think, because they got the better defenders on the East, I mean, on Team Steph. So I think Team Steph is going to – they're going to pull it out in the fourth quarter. I'm hoping that it's a good game. They play some defense, that it ain't 185 or 179. I hope it's around about the 140, 130, round about there. Because that means that, you know, they decided to play some defense, hopefully, in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, I'm going with Team Steph tonight. Even though LeBron and KD, that's going to be – man, that's going to – man, I think they're going to ball out tonight. I'd be surprised if both of them don't have at least 30.
Yeah, man. I think that's going to be a force, and I think it's actually dope, too, that we actually have picking up, we're going with opposite teams tonight. The fans know that we usually, I mean, we agree on some stuff, but there's a lot of these big nights we tend to have different, we call different fights and we call different guys, different teams. So it's pretty dope that you're rolling with Team Steph. So we're going to have to see.
Maybe if everybody on Team Steph didn't get hurt, as far as Porzingis, Kevin Love, Boogie Cousins, and John Wall, if those guys didn't get hurt, I probably would have rolled with Team LeBron, because that size that they could throw out on the floor with AD, Boogie, Durant, LeBron, and then you got Kyrie running the point, where you actually have LeBron running the point. That size would have been overwhelming for Team Steph, because Steph only has, if I had to say quality big guys, I would say Giannis. Embiid is a big guy, but I don't see him being effective in an up and down type of game. So I would say Giannis and not even Horford, man. So they would have been in trouble. So, but I'm rolling with Team Steph. You roll with Team Bron. That's what's up.
Yeah, and last thing, I forgot that LeBron picked Kyrie, too. He picked Kyrie, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So, damn, that even adds to my thing. All right, then. Yeah, with the East, it's going to be good. What's it called? What was – you had one big thing I wanted to throw out there, too, and this probably generates some good dialogue here. I hope maybe some callers in the queue want to jump in, and hopefully I can hear some opinions on this, because this is definitely a topic that people tend to have a lot of different, very different opinions on. Is, you know, we got to talk about the school shooting. They had us. I'm gonna run back to this article I was reading right now. Let's see. I think it was 20. Was it 20 kids? 20 dead in that.
Yeah, I think it was around about that.
I'm going to go right there. Yeah, that's crazy, man. It's tough, because it seems like, you know, I didn't even want to bring this on the show in the first place. Like, I acknowledge that it happened, and I wasn't trying to be ignorant to it, because, I mean, it deserves attention, because – you know, people, it's better that people talk about these things instead of just being like, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, that's the usual. It's kind of sad that it's the usual, to be honest, at least to me. I mean, there's a mass shooting, what, like every two, three months now, there's another mass shooting, school shooting especially. And it's kind of messed up, man. I don't know why. And it seems like in the United States, you know, somehow more than, well, actually more than everybody, I think we have more than any other country in the world, we have by far the most violence, especially gun violence. I don't know if there's any country that has more gun violence than the United States.
Well, I think I was shocked that you wanted to talk about this, but actually at the same time, you know, I was actually pleased that we're going to talk about this. You know, normally when I do, you know this, people that listen to our show know this, normally that when I do shows, before I do shows, I do my homework, I jot down notes or whatever, but tonight I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to talk straight from my heart, straight off the top of my head. I didn't want to have preconceived ideas I already wrote down on paper. But I just want this is a subject that, you know, that these mass killings are becoming way too regular in our country. They're becoming so regular that it's crazy how now we think of these shootings as like, oh, there go another one. Oh,
I mean,
the last one was 2 weeks ago, so I guess we were due for one. And that's just sad, man. I mean, it's sad that we feel that way, that we relate to mass killings like that, but they're happening so frequent now in our country that, you know, it's becoming a regular occurrence, and that's sad. And one thing that I hate about this is that people never, ever call out the NRA. They never call out the NRA on stuff like this. The kid that did the shooting in the Florida school, I want to say he used the AR-15, and I want to say reports say he bought the gun for about $150 for somebody. Why do we need AR-15s in our country? Only people need AR-15s in our country are the Marines and the Army. Regular citizens don't need weapons like that. Even if you're an adamant hunter, you know, you go big game hunting or whatever. What kind of sport is that you want to go take out a deer with an M16 that you're using on semi-automatic instead of having a buckshot rifle that it takes you one shot to take the animal down? I just don't get it, man. We need to become stronger on our gun laws. We need the NRA to take some responsibility on these mass killings and the weapons that will be used for these mass killings. Everybody, you know, we feel sorry for the person that did it because normally that person has been bullied or they just at a breaking point where they can't take it no more with their classmates. And that's sad. Yes, that's sad, but as kids, we all go through rough things in our life, in our lives. Only thing as a kid you can do is trust the people that are in positions of power to look after you and your well-being. If not, tell your parents, tell authorities. Just report it. Keep reporting it. Don't take the law into your own hands. That'll be my message tonight. Let's call out the NRA. Let's start listening to our kids, and let's start making people accountable for these things instead of saying that, you know, the kid was going through this, the kid was going through that, and la, 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 la. Let's start holding people accountable.
Hey, that's beautiful. I mean, the thing itself is not, but the way you put that, it was beautiful because, and I appreciate that so much because it bothers me how sensitive everybody is. I feel like it's not a sensitive topic, but I mean, the way that things tend to be handled is ridiculous. Like, if you had, okay, this kind of goes back. Think about the Vegas shooting that we had, okay, late 2017. I think it was September, October, was the Vegas shooting. Or maybe it might have been August. I forget exactly. But when that happened.
Well, that's okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They were when the Vegas shooting happened, you remember they were going through the whole history of that guy, of the shooter, his whole life, man. They're going through the biography of this dude. that's what the headlines is about, man, like, I just feel like it's oversensitive. Like, you guys are going too in-depth on who the people are. Like, I understand that, like, it's newsworthy. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I work in that field. Like, I work for a newspaper. Like, I'm in that field. I do that stuff. I understand how it's newsworthy. But at the same time, is like, when are we going to spend time on, you know, when are we going to apply pressure and start spending more time on, okay, what are we going to do about it? Never mind what was the – that's the past. First of all, you have a shooter who, you know, he wants to open fire at a, you know, a big concert, let's say, or open fire in an elementary school or high school, all these situations. And, okay, then he takes his own life in most cases, in most of these cases. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the Florida situation to know what happened with the shooter. But I know most of these shootings, the shooter ends up taking his own life. And then they end up talking about all the mental disorders that the shooter had. And, you know, he was a sociopath. I mean, I know, like, sociopaths, they have, like, voices talking in their head and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's definitely a factor. But like you said, when are we going to start holding people accountable for the things that they're doing? And as a parent, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I can at least say that you got to be teaching your kids that, first of all, to, you know, like you said, either report the issue and continue to report the issue or take it up with the school, whatever you got to do, or you could just teach your kid to stand up to bullies. I mean, he don't got to go up and shoot up the school because he gets made fun of. I don't think that's an excuse, man. I really think that's a horrible excuse to take all, you know, a whole mess of lives, you know, 20 lives, 19 lives for this case. I think, and I don't know what was the motive of the shooter. Honestly, I really am not even that concerned about what the motive was. I think that those stories are kind of bogus. I mean, how long are we going to talk about
why?
Yeah,
it's more about the act than the motive. Because then
that's
you
what
start
I'm saying.
Losing, and then you start missing. I ain't gonna say missing. I'm gonna say we start minimizing the victims. So yeah, I'm with you. Forget. Start making the story about the shooter. Make the story about the event, the situation at hand.
I mean, it's almost like a dishonor to the families who have to go home and, you know, they either lost their kids or the kids lost their parents, you know, because they didn't know that they were going to get, you know, someone was going to open fire, you know, at the concert that they went to, a Jason Aldean concert. They didn't know somebody was going to open fire at the country concert. I probably, you know, I definitely wouldn't have thought that. You know, country is mostly peaceful music. I mean, in any concert, why would you think that anything was going to happen? I mean, I wouldn't have expected that when I went to Jay-Z that I was going to get shot at. Like, why would I have thought that? I mean, it's not, at least in my nature, I don't think it's in the nature of, I mean, I hope isn't in the nature of the average person that you're going to have a conflict when you go to a, you know, a public, one of these public places. I just don't understand, like, what parents are teaching their kids to where it's like, you know, I don't know what was the motive of the shooter in this case, but it's just not that much concern to me. It should be more about how can we look the most we could do to prevent these things and stop people, you know, from these things happening in the future. That's what it should be about.
Yeah, because just a little backstory on the shooter in Florida. They said that he had been complaining since last year about the kids bullying him. He went to school administration. He went to his parents. The parents went to the school. The kid was persistent in making sure that his voice was known to the administration about it. But, you know, I think me as a parent, if my kid was going through all of that, I would have just had my kid trade schools. I mean, that just would have been me. I would have been like, would have went to my son or my daughter and been like, let's just look at moving you to another school. You know, stuff ain't being done, you know, la, 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 la. Let's just look at another school. I mean, me and my wife went through this afterwards. We didn't know our daughter was being bullied in school, you know, both, you know, it wasn't physical bullying. It was more of the verbal bullying. But we didn't know that until after she had graduated. What she was going through. And without her telling us, you know, we can't take the necessary action. So we found out when she did her school project, she wrote a paper, and we read the paper, and we was like, why you didn't tell us? Because, you know, we thought the little girls that she was hanging out, that she was cool with. We didn't know that they were smiling at her face in front of us and, you know, doing stuff to her when, you know, at school. So these killings, people just need to listen to their kids, put pressure on administration. I think once kids get in middle school, you need to have metal detectors at the door. That's kind of sad to say. But I think once you start getting into middle school, you need to have metal detectors at the door. Even though out in California, I want to say that was an elementary grade student that went and shot her classmate. She shot two of her classmates. I think that was elementary school, but I definitely feel that for middle school and high school, there need to be metal detectors at the door.
And, yeah, man, it's crazy because I actually had that thought. I was looking into this and thinking about it to myself earlier today, and I was thinking, I told my friends, you know, we were talking about the whole thing, and I told them, I was like, man, maybe it's coming to a point where school's got to, you know, start having security clearance. You got to go through security clearance to get into the school. Like, maybe, like, we're arriving at that point in this country where we have to do that. And like you said, it's sad that we even need to talk about that. I mean, it seems drastic to you know, think of implementing that. You know, let's just say the possibility of implementing that in all schools, you know, that would seem pretty drastic. I imagine parents wouldn't be too happy that their kids would have to, you know, go through that or whatever. But until things could be, I mean, people got to come up with something. You can't just, I mean, you got to take some kind of measures, because besides people just coming out and saying, you know, like the usual, how we all get so used to these things happening, and then our mentality, you know, kind of shifts to this the whole narrative of, oh, you know, there's nothing we could do about this. Like, you know, there's nothing we could do to prevent this. And at that point, it's like, man, what kind of people are we to just be, you know, careless like that? I mean, it almost sounds like you're giving up saying that. There's nothing we can do to, I mean, it says the only country where this regularly happens, I mean, where this happens on a pretty average basis. I mean, there's a mass shooting, you know, I would say about every 3 months, and every 3 months or so, there's a mass shooting. Maybe my math is a little off, but it's definitely a couple times, you know, per every year. There's a couple mass shootings per every year. So, and I don't know why people, I mean, I understand why, but at the same time, it's like, we can't be so weak to just say, oh, there's nothing we could do to prevent this. And people, a lot of people were coming out and saying that, and news outlets were coming out and talking about that narrative when the Vegas shooting happened, was how, you know, how is there nothing we can, you know, how is there nothing we can do? And then other countries, they don't have to, you know, how are other countries succeeding, but the United States cannot? That's the question. Like, there must be a disconnect somewhere, or there's the wrong person, you know, with too much power sitting in a seat somewhere that is just not understanding something. Like, I don't know, because you can't really blame one person. I mean, it's not just the job of one person to fix such a big issue, but it definitely, I mean, it kind of relates back to what you were saying. Just hold, I mean, people need to be held accountable, not just the, you know, the parents, not just the kids, not just the family of the shooter, not just the shooter. I mean, you can't just, not just mental illness. I mean, you can't just blame one thing. It's not that. It's definitely not a one-dimensional issue. I mean, there's many factors which play into it. And I just want to know how, you know, other countries, they don't have problems like we have. You know, we have the most gun violence. As far as I know, the United States has the most gun violence in the world. I don't know of a place that has as much trouble as we have, and then, you know, having people with the mentality of, you know, thinking that they're helpless and they just can't, there's nothing you could do to stop it. I mean, I think there are. I just think the right measures aren't being taken.
I think people in other countries, better, you know, I've been around the world, you know, a little bit. People in other countries are scared of their government, man. Their government, some countries, their government instills so much fear in them that they won't break, like, the smallest of laws, they won't break them because of the consequences. I've been over to, you know, Qatar, and over there, you know, you get caught stealing, they chop your hand off. I mean, that'll deter me from stealing. You know, our citizens are scared of our government, man. Our government doesn't instill fear in us like that. And, you know, just moving on, you know, from you know, gun violence to another hot button issue that's going on in our country right now is certain people feel that they can say their positions allow them to say whatever they want. I mean, even though in our country we do have the freedom of speech and, you know, all that good stuff, which is lovely. But I can't think of the lady named Graham lady from Fox News. LeBron James and Kevin Durant was riding in a Uber with ESPN host Curry Champion, and she asked him about the current racial state of our country. And, you know, they pointed straight to the top at the president. And everybody know that our president isn't cared for by minorities that much, because our president, he feels that he can say whatever he wants and he can incite people to do certain things. Even on Twitter, I mean, I know you haven't been on Twitter lately, but, you know, it was people saying crazy stuff on Twitter, like, you know, Jemele Hill should be fired. Jemele Hill is anti-Christ or whatever because of stuff she said against President Trump. But, you know, man, it's bigger than the president, racism is. But at the same time, to tell LeBron James, we ain't talking about Lee Brown. We talk about LeBron James, a global icon. To LeBron, you can't talk politics, shut up and dribble. But then in the same sentence you say, LeBron, I invite you to come on our show so we can talk politics. Which one is it? Is it that he can't talk politics, or he can only talk politics with you? And, man, I'm going to let you go ahead, man, you know, because I'm venting for a little bit. I'm going to calm down while you speak, and then I'll come back to it.
Yeah, you know, I actually didn't get to watch the I don't know if it was an ad or it was a pretty lengthy video. You know, the original, was it a commercial which had, you know, the LeBron in the Uber? That's the one that I checked out a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one.
And,
Yeah,
they're riding in the Uber. And it's, you know, you got to think, like, those commercials, they put those together. You know, that's thought out. Like, they, you know, people like that, they have influence. Like, you know, we know, especially with the NFL and, like, the players coming out, you know, over the past, like, year's time and – or year, 2 years' time, you know, how long has it been, you know, Colin Kaepernick, everything. I mean, like, we know that, you know, sports and politics world are separate, but at the same time, it's like we're still all people. And especially when you have – superstars like that, like, their name is still at a high stature. They're still, like, competing on a big stage. It doesn't matter whether it's sports or politics. Everybody has a voice, and it's not fair for, you know, big media companies, you know, like Fox News, to come out and try and judge people, saying, you know, you don't have legitimacy. You know, you don't have the authority to speak on this. You know, go do what you do. You know, and that sounds like bogus to me, because it just sounds like you don't want to have to hear from these people. That's what that sounds like to me. You don't want to have to answer, you know, to NBA superstars. You don't want to have to answer to NFL superstars. And I understand why. I really understand why. And I think a lot of people understand why. And it's sad because, you know, there's a few things. I mean, the government doesn't want to have to answer to people, you know, who don't like, you know, the way things are going. And then at the same time is like, they, you know, they want to put pressure on, you know, people like that. They want to put pressure on LeBron and Kevin Durant, but then or want to put pressure on the NFL. But then when it comes down to their real issues, like, you know, 19 kids being gunned down, you know, in a Florida school, all of a sudden, everybody's so subtle. All of a sudden, we have such a good temper in the United States. And I don't understand that. It just seems like, you know, major media in this country and the government likes to pick and choose their battles, and it's kind of sad because it really makes us look extremely weak as a country. And if we aren't already weak, which I think we are, and we've shown our face, you know, in that way time and time again, and I think that's why other countries, you know, they believe that they can just do whatever they want, and It's not a good example. It's really sad. I think that they should be more respectful of LeBron, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, Colin Kaepernick, like all these guys. I mean, it's still these kids, like, they don't think about it. Your children, likely, these guys are their role models. Like, they look up to a lot of these guys. A lot of these young kids are into sports nowadays. And, I mean, even when I was growing up in school, like, everybody wanted to be an athlete. You know, everybody, you know, my friends used to watch sports highlights, basketball highlights, you know, football, you know, touchdown highlights, college highlights, you know, they all had players, you know, they were athletes themselves. You know, I was into sports. I wasn't as into sports as some of my friends were, you know, as years went on, but they were striving to be as good as a lot of these guys. And they looked up to these guys, you know, as people, not just as athletes. They liked the way that they are. And that's why, you know, that's what these, you know, parents got to think about that. And these people who work for these media companies should really be thinking about that, is that are you picking and choosing your battles, and are you, you know, paying respect to everybody, especially people you know they have a voice, and your children, you know, your children respect their voice. So what kind of example are you putting, you know, picking and choosing your battles, you know, shooing, you know, LeBron and KD away, but then, you know, kind of hiding your face, you know, in bigger issues, you know, like the Florida shooting and this and that. It just, what kind of example is that? You know, I don't understand.
And I think my biggest issue in this whole thing is, if she would have just said what she said in the beginning, that, you know, that LeBron and KD, you know, la, 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 you know, wasn't the perfect grammar being used, and, you know, they can use, you know, they can complain about this or complain about that. But when she said, shut up and go dribble, that made it personal. It was like, to me, and I could be wrong, Keys, to me, she was saying, you're a black athlete, you get paid $100 million, you just go play your game and lead the politics to us. It's like, first of all, LeBron and KD are citizens. That means they do have a right to speak their mind. Number two, she said that over a million people voted for this coach. But if I recall correctly, he didn't even win the popular vote. So I wouldn't use that as a strong point of my argument if I was her. But that's neither here nor there. But athletes, we crucify Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan never took a stance against anything that was socially or racially motivated back in his playing days. And nowadays, and then today's athlete, Colin Kaepernick, LeBron, CP3, Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry, Chris Long, you know, people want to tell them that your profession is sports. Stick to that. That's all you know. How do you know what a person knows? You don't know whether or not Chris Long or Malcolm Jenkins went to school to study political science. You don't know that. So that's an ignorant thing to say to a person. And then a lot of the stuff that pro athletes do as far as their neighborhoods, their city, you know, where they're from and the cities that they actually play in, the things they do behind the scenes, that stuff doesn't get out there. But let an athlete go and get a DUI, his face will be plastered all across the ESPN, FS1, SportsIllustrated.com, the Bleacher Report, stuff like that.
Good
but
point.
The things they do to make our society better, those things go unheard and unseen. So like my man Keys was saying, we can't put a muzzle on athletes. We have to let athletes be themselves. If an athlete come out and they support something and they don't know what they're talking about, then yes, you have a right to go after them. You know, you have a right to question their knowledge on a certain subject. But if someone is speaking their mind about a political figure, that's their opinion. You can't suppress people's opinions, because then they are no longer opinions. They become robots to society, and the United States, we're not robots to society.
Yeah, what's it called? I want to hear what this person got to say right here. We got a caller on the line. Yo, who's out there?
Yeah, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? What's
going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this. It's an interesting thing to look at, man. I don't know how ridiculous it is, but I think one thing a lot of people miss is, like, who she's addressing with this. Like, you're using LeBron, of course, you know, that's always a move, you know, to get some traction. But black people get confused about, she's not talking to us. She's speaking to the people in that echo chamber, because she knows that's always good fodder, right? To attack athletes who they see as undeserving millionaires who should only have praise and, you know, whatever on society, because in their mind, hey, we made you rich. Which is already telling you how
you should be grateful.
You know what I'm saying? But then the idea that you would talk about somebody's English or whatever, if somebody uses African-American English or, you know, Ebonics, whatever you want to call it, in their life, that's a right. I mean, it's a language just as legit as anything else. The thing we call English in America, you know, that's not exactly the King's English. So here, if you don't speak a certain way, you know, for a job like the majority of us do, you know what I mean, to sell your labor, then you should be free to speak how you wish. And the idea that you don't know what they're saying, it's like, come on, man, we've been here way too long. Don't act like y'all don't understand. Understand y'all. And not to mention, you know, everybody has family members. And if you're telling me you got a whole well-spoken family, I'm calling BS on that. But yeah, man, great. Salute to the brothers for speaking out and saying what they wanted to say. These dudes know they do that at the risk of losing, you know, some fans and some corporate money, but they take that risk because it matters to them. So, you know, to me, that's important. And, of course, we want them to be the most informed on these things before they speak out. Sometimes it's not going to be that. It's just going to be, you know, a feeling and you know, a limited thought that they need to explore more. But I salute them for taking the risk of it, no matter what. So, you know, and what we saw them do to Kaepernick this year, come on.
Hey, caller, let me ask you a question real quick. You follow the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. I brought up at the top of the show how the NBA embraces how their players, you know, have their own way of thinking, you know, how they go about, you know, doing things, whereas the NFL, they don't want their athletes out there doing that. What would you say to that?
That's a thing of leverage. NBA players, just by the scarcity of talent and the amount, I guess you could say not only the amount of money, but the amount of importance of the players causes it to be a somewhat partnership. So they have to cede a little bit of territory to the players. Where in the NFL, since it's that's replenished every year with a 7-round draft, not to mention free agents, where guys' careers are typically, you know, 5 years at best, the NFL can have more of a, you know, an iron hand on stuff. And the NFL, to me, you're winning the battle right now in that the things that aren't popular to some of these fans they're catering to, but long-term, that's a losing battle because when you're on the wrong side of history, you always are playing catch-up later on. As we see, you know, the MLB kind of lose popularity with young people and things like that. Being on the edge of cool is always good for sports franchise. And it looks like the NFL is making a huge mistake with this. But the NBA, because of the players' significance, and you can't just get another LeBron or another KD next year. You know what I mean? Like, you really, you know, have to, you know, make partnerships with them. So,
yeah, I would say that's why you see the difference in how they do.
Well, I mean, I'm glad.
I appreciate glad that. That was a great answer.
Yeah, I'm glad because I was speaking on that before. I don't know if you were on the line at the time when I had just been saying it, you know, probably about 5-10 minutes ago, but it's, you know, a lot of the kids, people don't think about, a lot of your children are looking up to these guys. I mean, LeBron James, he's a superstar, NBA superstar. I mean, a lot of NFL superstars, they like to, you know, they've talked down to, you know, in the past year, 2 years, 3 years, and you see how they like to go about attacking the NFL, you know, when that's a thing. And, but, you know, my man Lee said, I don't know if you missed this one too, but my man Lee said just before, but wait until one of these guys, you know, gets caught up in a bad situation, or, you know, driving drunk, you know, gets a DUI or, you know, some bad situation, a scandal, something they want to shake up the negativity that, you know, put the negative publicity on that superstar. But how come when they want to speak out, you know, to try to make a positive change, let's just say, or, you know, and use their major voice to make a positive change, you know, and now all of a sudden it's a problem and they say shut up and dribble, you know, it just kind of, it's sad.
I agree. Yeah, and that's another part of the risk. If they make any misstep or mistake, they're going to run that 24/7, especially if these guys now,
yes, they will.
Because they'll be appealing to that crowd who generally, you know, dislikes them and is real envious of them and thinks, you know, they're undeserving, you know, people who just play with a ball or whatever, you know, whatever little slight that they'll throw at them. And it's like, well, these people worked hard and became the top at, you know, in their field. Should be respected like any other skill, master of the, you know, their craft. But for some reason, it's really easy to play on that emotion on the other side, which is always there of, you know, looking down on these people.
Yeah, and that's another thing that to me, when she said that, it was like, to me, she was telling athletes, you should be grateful that you're making all this money. It's like, you know, a lot of athletes come from these same areas that are being policed differently, that have bad education systems, the poverty level is this, and this, and they have found a way out of that. And just for her to just say, she said it without saying it. She was like, they should be grateful that they're making hundreds of millions of dollars and just shut up in color. That's what she basically said without saying it. That's how I took it. But, you know, man, it's like this. Ernie Johnson said it the other night inside the NBA. And he got real emotional. I don't know if people was watching it. Ernie Johnson took his two fists and he was banging them together. He was like, people are making us do this, like banging our fists together. And then he opened up both his hands and he was interlocking his fingers, saying, well, we should be more like this, coming together. And, you know, stuff like this, people going to pick sides, going to have their own opinions. But let's become more together a society than a, I'm going to look at you, I'm going to judge you, I'm going to exclude you, you don't deserve to be this, or this. Whereas we all have the same, everybody wants to be happy in life. Everybody wants their next generation to prosper. Let's become a better society towards each other, man.
Agreed. That's the only way.
Yeah.
And the only problem with sentiment, like, you know, Ernie's was, is Ernie grew up in a certain way around a diverse collection of people. He knows good, bad, and all from all walks of life. So Ernie can be that open and honest and understanding about things. Other people assume people deserve their lot in life. And when you have the inequality that we have and you have these areas that are, you know, so dangerous and desolate and don't have all of the things that you're supposed to have in a functioning society, you know, it's hard to ever come to that impasse of saying, okay, we are one, you know, let's just move forward. So it's like we can't move forward. It's the old Malcolm analogy. You can't pull a knife out 3 inches and say everything is okay. Like, no, you got to actually heal the wound, and then you can really get towards, you know, the things that you, Ernie was talking about. But, yeah, Ernie Johnson, man, great dude, and I think his upbringing kind of plays out in his perspective on things because he's really insightful on stuff. Like, you don't expect that from a sports host, but he's usually on point.
And somebody, you know, that thing you just said about pulling the knife out 3 inches, you know, that doesn't fix it, you know, more or less like that. Somebody, I forget who it was, Lee, I don't know if you remember, you even might have said that, Lee, or somebody mentioned that in one of our other shows. We were talking about a different issue, and somebody brought up that quote. I'm just glad that he come up with that. You know, I appreciate that because, you know, it doesn't you know, things aren't directly addressed, and things aren't you know, they don't put they like to. I was saying earlier, they like to pick and choose. You know, the government and media like to pick and choose their battles and how much effort to put into certain things. You know, the media will attack one issue a lot more than they'll attack a different issue, and I feel like that's why a lot of foreign countries are laughing at the United States because, you know, they know that they're looking at us like look at what their temper is like. You know, when you know 19 kids are being gunned down in a school, but then you know, look how light that is. You know, they don't even. It's almost like we don't even care, you know, to an extent, almost. But and then look at how they come down on the NFL. Look how hard they come down on Colin Kaepernick when that's going on. The media is killing them, and that go back to what you know we were saying before is like. You know, they don't have a voice if they want to say something positive. But the minute they say something negative, the media is killing them and the government's killing them and Trump is killing them. And that's what I don't respect that. It's low to me. That's just low.
Agreed. Like, it's always easy to use those hot button issues to work at people's emotions as opposed to trying to actually fix things. And you guys spoke well on that earlier, talking about the school shootings. Like, if we're the only country that has this huge problem where these things just keep happening time after time after time, and we're just willing to, you know, we want to use pretty words to paper over it but not actually go into what it would take to fix it. I mean, like you said, that's the prime example. But, you know, thanks for letting me on, man. You guys are doing a good job. I caught, I think, the show at the halfway point, so I've been listening. But, you know, good work, man.
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, bro.
Hey, man, have a good evening, man. Who you got in the All-Star game tonight, Team LeBron or Team Steph?
I'm going to go Team LeBron because I thought it's KD and LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going them because they got those two.
Word.
Hey, thanks for calling me in, bro. All
right, y'all. Have a good one.
Definitely, bro. We appreciate your support.
All
have
right,
a good
man.
Night. Yeah, man, but anyway, you know, polar bears are dying out there, you know, and they show me this thing in class and they're trying to make me stop eating meat and it's bugging me out. Now I eat meat and I feel like, you know, I'm picturing slaughterhouses and, you know, I'm having nightmares and it's kind of crazy. So I don't know. I think I might got to go start eating tofu and stuff now. I don't know. Maybe that might be the future.
Well, you enjoy that, man. Let me know how that turned out for you. I'm not joining that party with you.
Hey, I didn't say I was going to. Hey, maybe I'm not that diverse. I didn't say I was going to go jump ship right off the bat. But, you know, they're trying to pressure me, bro. They're trying to shake me up out here.
Yeah. Well, man, you know, man, I know I say this a lot, and I probably say it at least every other show. is I appreciate our show because we aren't scared to talk about stuff. We have never came off as two guys that claim to be experts in anything. We come across as two guys that like to talk about what we want to talk about, how we want to talk about it. And at the same time, is we don't just give opinions, you know. We base our opinions on facts, or we might base our opinions on, you know, an experience. But one thing about Lee and Keys, real talk, is that when all you listen to our show, you're going to get the realness each and every time. We like to have fun, especially when we do our MMA shows, our music shows. But when we have stuff like this to talk about, I could feel my man Keys coming through the phone. I could feel him, how serious he was coming through the phone, because this stuff is real. This is real life. This isn't stuff that we're making up. This is stuff that's happening in our country. Some people, this happening in your town. You know, it may have happened at your school. I worked here out in Denver back in 2003 to 2007, and it was Halloween. And we got to dress up. I was in the military. We could wear costumes to work. And this guy wore a costume to work. And the young lady, it so frightened her so bad that we had to send her home, because the guy had on like a trench coat and he had on a cowboy hat. And, you know, he was just a cowboy. But she went to Columbine High School. And the trench coat mafia, that's what the kids were known as, that shot up Columbine High School. And she just happened to be a student at that high school during that time. And nobody, I didn't know that she went to that school until, you know, until that incident. So just saying that, man, you know, things touch people different ways and things affect people different ways. And me and my man Keys, you know, we don't hide from any topic. We're not afraid to tackle any topic. And, you know, we're going to say what we got to say. You can agree or disagree. But hopefully when you listen to our show, you learn something. Learn something about me. Learn something about him. Learn something about our show. That's all we ask. Ain't that right, bro?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I hope, you know, and we hope that you can learn something about, you know, the callers that we have pulling up. You know, pull up too, because I try to, you know, we both always try to encourage people to call up and speak their mind. I mean, tonight I had, you know, feel free to call up and speak your mind. This was probably one of the most, you know, welcoming intros I had into the show tonight. I didn't even try and make it about the agenda or try and, you know, either interest people or not interest people. I just wanted people to call up and talk about what they want to talk about, and that don't bother me. I mean, it could be really anything, and we're gonna kick it to you how it is. I mean, like my man Lee said, that, you know, we don't claim to be experts about any given topic. And, you know, a lot of the things that we talk about, we're not experts. Even, you know, about UFC, we tend to talk about the fights a lot. And, you know, I don't, you know, we just give, you know, our best shot at everything. And we're not afraid to talk about whatever. So that's what I appreciate about this show. And I look forward to continuing to do that moving forward and giving you guys the best product that we can provide.
Well, we got a couple minutes left, Keys, so we're going to finish off the show on a positive, hopefully. So, Keys, what's on your mind, bro?
Man, so, I mean, I'm definitely thinking about this NBA All-Star game off the top of my head. I'm excited to throw that on in the next, you know, 20, 30 minutes. Probably throw it on in 20 minutes, get me some popcorn ready, you know, get me a drink ready, get my mind right. I would say I'd get a cold beer ready or something like that, but I've been drinking all weekend, so I'm kind of hungover and I can't really be drinking like that. So yeah, I might keel over and die if I have a beer. They say if you're hungover, to drink what you were drinking, drink something of what you were drinking that made you sick.
Get that monkey out your back.
Yeah, to kind of reverse it, but I can't even, at this point, I can't even go any further. I can't do it. So I'm going to just pour myself a nice glass of ice water, I think, get me some popcorn, throw on the TV about 20 minutes, and we're going to start watching the previews and promo for this game. I'm very excited about it. So let's get it.
That's what's up.
How about yourself, bro?
I went and saw the Black Panther on Friday. And
oh, yeah.
The hype was real. The movie actually delivered. It's probably one of the first movies outside of a slave movie or a Color Purple type movie where most of the cast was, I want to say 98% of the cast was African American. They delivered in this movie. Michael B. Jordan, to me, he stole the show. The guy Bozeman, I think that's his name, Bozeman, that played the Black Panther, he was good. Angela Bassett was good. But Michael B. Jordan, when you watching this movie, he jumps off the screen, and you're just sitting there hung on every action that he does, everything that he says. I mean, the movie was excellent. I'll probably go see it again next weekend just to make sure I ain't miss nothing. Give him another $8 to $10, you know. But, yeah, man, it was a good movie, man. You get a chance to go see it.
Yeah, man, I forgot that Michael B. Jordan, I liked him in Creed, so I forgot that he was playing in that. So that definitely spices that up for me. I'll probably have to go see that one this coming week.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And they said it did really good in the box office, too. They said it really hit the box office hard, so I'm glad that it had that success.
Well, hell, they've been hyping it up for about a year now, I think.
Hey, it gets its just due. That's good. I like when they get the hype and then they go out and deliver it as well.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that go out
there.
Go
ahead and close us out, bro, like you do.
Yeah, so, you know, me and my man Lee, we always come out here and want to, you know, chop it up on different topics. And, you know, we continue to keep doing that. Like I was saying before, we just want to, you know, be able to provide the listeners and supporters with the best possible product every time. You know, we don't claim to be know-it-alls about any one thing. We just give you our best shot and, you know, to the best of our ability on whatever it is and speak the real and how it is. So, you know, we encourage people to call up and do that as well. You know, like I always say, the guest call number is 917-889-3251. 917-889-3251. You know, call up and speak your mind anytime. Feel free. You know, don't be afraid. You know, we look forward to talking with you. You know, and I appreciate everybody who comes out and supports the show. And we look forward to the future and continuing to do the best that we can. So that's what it is. And, you know, everybody, have a good night and then enjoy the East versus West. Hopefully, Team LeBron pull it out.
Well, I'm going for Team Steph. And if you want to get a copy of this show, you can follow me on Twitter at LEVANSTIAN 757. That's at LEVANSTIAN 757. I'll be sending the link out to this show later on tonight, probably after the All-Star game. And to my man Keys, have a good evening, bro. I know you're counting down your number of days of school left. So have a good evening, bro.
Yeah. All right, and to everybody, have a good night. We out.
Peace.